Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome to Pop Talk. Got a great show for you this time. It's a real mix of things. And especially during the season. You know, this is the season to be jolly. Well, maybe. maybe we've got some tools that will make it a little bit better for you. That's what Pop Talk is all about. We go in search of truth, and we ask all the questions. Sometimes they're kind of crazy, but you know what? That's what life is all about, because we never know what's going to happen from day to day. It's always a challenge. Well, there are colors of our mind, but what if I told you being thankful will help you live longer? Now, really, it seems that gratitude brings both physical and emotional benefits. Why? Well, we're going to check in with Peter Loewenheim, author and journalist whose articles he shared in the New York Times, the LA Times, the Washington Post, and a whole lot more. And now his book, Gift Shop of Gratitude, is a journal to explore that journey of your life. Nice to have you with us, Peter.
Great to be here, Mary Jane. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. It's a perfect time of the year to talk about this. But please, define gratitude, and why would I live longer if I'm grateful? You know, I may not be grateful if I'm hurting today, you know?
Well, I hope you're not hurting today. But the gratitude is being thankful for the good things we have in our lives. And this notion that it can help us live longer was borne out in a study published this past summer from the Harvard School of Public Health. An interesting piece of work. It involved 49,000 female nurses, all in their 70s. And researchers found that the ones who were able to say they had a long list of things they were grateful for over the next 3 years showed a lower incidence of disease and ill health than would have been expected. And more interestingly, they also showed a 9% lower rate of mortality than would have been expected.
No kidding. Okay.
So the suggestion from that one study, at least, is that being grateful and having very specific things on that long list of things we can be grateful for can actually help us live longer.
Okay. So, Peter, what are you grateful for right now? I mean, I'd just like to know, do you have a list of gratefulness that you have?
Well, I actually wrote a whole book that constitutes a list, and my hope is that other people can use the book, which is partly a journal, to create their own long list of things that they're grateful for. And we do this in a very unusual way. And let me tell you the story of how it came about, and then you'll understand the unusual way this book prompts you to create a long list of things you're grateful for. My wife recently retired, and as a result, we've been traveling more. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that pretty much wherever we go, whether a national park or museum, any tourist site, we're required to exit through the gift shop.
Not that
they ask us to. You're required to. It's the only way to get out.
Yeah.
And at first, this put me off a bit because I, like most people, I don't like being told what to do. But the more I thought about it, this notion of a gift shop, it occurred to me that a gift shop can be a metaphor for life itself and all the gifts we receive in our life. And that the specific items that you find in every gift shop can be prompts that help us remember particular things that we're grateful for. So my book is a gift shop of gratitude, is a journal full of stories that prompt you to remember and write down specific things you're most grateful for. And the prompts are stories based on 20 items you'd find in any gift shop in the world, from snow globes to tote bags and T-shirts. And these help us remember the people, the places, and experiences that we most value. And by my hope is that by filling out the journal part of the book, you can create a family keepsake of these memories for your children and grandchildren. In that sense, the book is a way of saying, this is who I am, this is what I most cherish.
So there are different kinds of gratitude. There are some people who are grateful because they're rich. Other people grateful because they have friends and good family. Is there a difference? Does it matter which kind of gratitude that you have to live longer?
Well, I think the key that I think philosophers and psychologists tell us is that being grateful for what we have is the way we achieve happiness. And I think it's probably true that gratitude is a key to happiness. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever met an ungrateful person who's also happy.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then beyond that, as these studies have shown, gratitude becomes a way of coping with stress and anxiety. And there's a lot of stress and anxiety going around these days, as
you probably noticed. Yeah.
Whether it's personal finances or concern about the future of our country, let's say.
Uh-huh.
But gratitude turns out to be a way of coping with that, because we can't really do too much about those big questions. But we can learn to cope better. We can use gratitude as I think of it as a countermeasure to stress and anxiety, almost an antidote. And the health benefits are both physical and emotional. So it's not only living longer, it's enjoying the time we have better. And I hope that this book, Gift Shop of Gratitude, can help people do that.
Do you think that people who have this thing called being grateful kind of draw in other people that have that same kind of grateful feeling, or maybe they can pass their grateful on to somebody else? Doesn't it? It's like with like osmosis, you know, if you're grateful, you pass on the grateful, kind of the pay it forward type of thing, you know?
You make me think of that nice expression that says if you see someone without a smile, you can give them one of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, same idea.
It's interesting you say that, because I started doing something, and this was years ago. If I was at the mall, and I don't go to the mall that often, but, you know, go to a big mall. You're walking down, and people are sometimes stressed. Sometimes, you know, you can tell they're tired or they just got there from work. And I will go down, and as I see a person who might be a little sad, I smile at them. Now, the first time they see that, and I've told this on the air before, sometimes they look at me like, who's this crazy lady smiling at me? But if you see them again, coming back the other way, they smile back. And it's like, you know, it passes it on. Maybe they think it's a little strange to begin with, but when they think about it, why not, right?
That's very nice. I hope that I would pass you in the mall one day.
Yeah. It just, I mean, what does it take to, you know, show your teeth? You know, just smile. Less wrinkles. Anyway, it takes less muscles to smile than it is to frown anyhow.
Right. Can I share one of the gift shop items I use in the book as a prompt for different type of gratitude? So I'm actually sitting here at my desk holding a bobblehead.
Oh, I love bobbleheads.
Right. You know, every gift shop has bobbleheads.
Yeah.
And you know, we think of them as cartoonish, probably, but I did a little research, and I found that They actually have a serious history. They go back almost 1,000 years to India and China. They were called shaking head dolls. They were made of wood or clay, later porcelain. But they were made to honor revered people in a community, often the elders.
Oh.
And what I find looking at gift shops today is the bobbleheads that they stock tend to be geographically oriented. So, for example, if you're in Las Vegas, the bobbleheads are going to be of Elvis or other entertainers.
Yeah.
If you come to Washington, D.C., where I am right now, the bobbleheads are presidents, mm-hmm. Past, current, and wannabe. So I've got an Abraham Lincoln bobblehead on my desk.
Oh.
And in my book, Gift Shop of Gratitude, I use the bobblehead in one of the chapters as a way of thinking, remembering people who have helped us along the way in life. For example, teachers and mentors. So in the book, I mentioned my sixth grade teacher, my first male teacher, and someone who was a very positive, important influence for me. And I mentioned an early editor who helped me get started as a writer. And then I invite the reader, who would you like to honor with a bobblehead in your gift shop of gratitude?
Hmm.
And then there's a page where you can actually physically write in the name of the people you want to honor that way and tell us something about them and why you chose them to be honored with a bobblehead. So that's how the book works. And there's 20 chapters, each with a different gift shop item that prompt different memories.
I love it. I can actually think of two people in my life that had a lot of
Can you
influence.
Tell us who they would be?
Yes. One was when I was in grade school, and it was my music teacher, Miss Biss Distad. And I'll never forget, she was middle-aged, not the most beautiful person, but what a soul and what a heart. And she loved music, and she encouraged me to sing. And I actually became an opera major at Indiana University and went on to sing at musicals and conventions and all kinds of things and sang for a good part of my life. And I was only maybe, well, I don't know, 10 years old, 9 years old, when she said, you have to do this. You got the voice. Go do this. And so she was an influence that kept me going. Of course, I turned out doing talk shows instead, but that's okay. It's all in the entertainment field, and I love
what
I'm doing.
Your voice on the radio is musical.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, you're right. And the other person...
Yeah.
Completely different from the field that I'm in, but in a way still adjacent. Mr. Dillon, he was my math teacher in high school. And he was not the most popular person, but he taught all his students, and myself included, to think and think why, instead of, oh, A plus B equals C, and you have the answer. No, why does A plus B equal C? And delve into what makes that happen. And that helped me throughout my life. You know, I delve into stories, your story, the people that I have on the air, all these stories. And it's not like, well, gee, what did you do? No, I try to delve into the story so that I can give more information to my listeners and to myself. So the math carried over into the rest of my life also. Isn't that amazing?
That's great. And, you know, to write this all down in a journal or in a book and make it available to our children or grandchildren, other people we love, is a testament of the very specific things we were grateful for in life. It's a lovely thing.
Yeah. We have to open ourselves up, though, because a lot of people close themselves off. They don't think, you know, I'm not grateful for anything because look at the world. It's crazy. There's wars going on. The economy is, you know, shaky. Prices of everything are going up. People kind of tend to look at the negative instead of the positive. How do we turn that around?
Yeah, it's easy to dwell on the negative. Let me give you another example from the book, though, another gift shop item, if I could, which is a fun one.
Okay.
And it's a T-shirt. So what I learned is, according to a recent national survey, 9 out of 10 Americans have in their closet at least one T-shirt that they never wear, but for sentimental reasons they cannot throw away.
Yeah.
And in the book, I use T-shirts as a prompt to think about special experiences we've had that we're grateful for. Mm-hmm. And they could be like, you know, a favorite concert we attended that had a T-shirt, or maybe a big family reunion. We made up T-shirts for the reunion. Maybe a political campaign we worked on. You know, win or lose, it was a good experience to work with other people on something we cared about. So in the book, I give an example. I have a T-shirt in my drawer that I can't wear and can't throw away. It's from when I was 14 years old at summer camp.
Okay, really? What does it say?
And it was just a wonderful summer. Special things happened, and I cannot throw that away. But, of course, I couldn't fit in it now if I wanted to.
Doesn't matter.
So let me ask you, do you have a T-shirt in your drawer that you keep for sentimental reasons?
Not in my drawer. I actually haven't hung up, and I do wear it periodically. I got two that I kept that I just love.
What kind of does it remind you of?
It reminds me of the love of my dogs and how that's unqualified love. No matter who you are, what you are, rich or poor, famous or not, they're happy to see you. If you're gone a minute or 4 hours, it doesn't matter. They're still happy to see you. And one of them says, "My dog loves me." That's one. And the other one, I have Samoyeds. So they're white, fluffy Alaskan dogs, actually Siberian dogs. And it says, "It's not dog hair, it's glitter."
I'm having a little hard time hearing you right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mary Jane.
Is that a little better?
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not dog hair, it's glitter. My dog loves me. That's the other one. And then I also have one that says, "A home is not a home without a dog."
There's a nice expression about dogs here in Washington, D.C. I forget who originally said it, but they said, talking about the backstabbing that goes on among politicians.
Oh, yeah.
If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog.
Yes. That makes good sense. It really
right.
does. Okay, so do we need to focus on specific things, or can we do general? Can we generalize?
No, that's a really good question. And one thing I've learned about gratitude from writing this book is that it's easy to talk about gratitude broadly, but for some reason it's much more difficult to do it specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about, like, Thanksgiving. I don't know how it is at your home, but at mine, we try to go around the table and invite people to say what they're grateful for.
Yeah.
And I find every year people speak very generally. They'll say, "I'm grateful for my health, I'm grateful for my family," which is all well and good. But it's much harder, it seems, to put into words specific things, you know, that we remember that we're grateful for. And as I mentioned with that study from Harvard that came out this summer, the health benefits, the emotional and physical benefits of cultivating a sense of gratitude seem to be enhanced when we can be very specific about what we're grateful for.
I wonder why. Does it say why?
I don't recall if the researchers said why, but I think that it probably goes to the depth of the feeling and the consistency of the feeling, and also the how well we can retain that feeling even in the face of a lot of negative things happening. You know, so one thing I like about this book as a journal is that if you start filling it out chapter by chapter, and over time you've listed 20 different types of things you're grateful for in specific, you know, very specific terms, well, then you can go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
and look at it when you're going through a tough time. And my hope is it would give people a way of holding on to those positive feelings. And then those benefits of health, you know, physical and emotional health would kick in. So that's why I think it's important to cultivate very specific feelings of gratitude.
No, I think you're right. And it doesn't have to be some big, overwhelming thing. I'll give you an example. I had some car trouble yesterday. And all I kept thinking was, okay, is it going to be better today? Will I make it up to the station? Because I have about a 35, 40-minute drive to the station. And I got here just fine, and I said, thank you. You know, that I was grateful. I made it here.
Yeah.
You know? And it wasn't something that was huge. If I couldn't make it, well, I'd find another way. But it felt good to say that.
Hey, you know, I'm in Washington, D.C., and every time I get on the metro, the subway, I'm grateful when the escalators work.
Oh, okay. But again, if we just start thinking in terms of grateful, it's little things, and it's many things that could happen during a day. It's not just one big thing. If a big thing happens in your life, great, I'm happy for you. But it's the little things, and they all add up, don't they?
They do, yeah. And they're worth writing down and remembering, I think.
Yeah. And sometimes just writing them down, because we tend to, let's be honest, our society today is like a split second, it's gone. It's just gone. Your commercials are, you know, 9/10 of a second, a shot. And our attention span is very short these days, don't you think?
Well, I would say also that we're so visually oriented mm-hmm. these days. Yeah. And we see other people, you know, we have thousands of photographs on our phones. We do Zoom calls. We see people on screens all day long. We're very familiar with the outside of other people, not so much with the inside.
Oh, well said.
And what I like about a gratitude journal like this book is, Gift Shop of Gratitude, if you fill it out, you leave it for your children or grandchildren or give it to a friend, it allows you to be seen on the inside. It tells people who you love, this is who I am, these are the things I most cherish. I think it's a lovely way of allowing oneself to be known by others.
That's important. You know, you're right. Because with technology, and don't get me wrong, I'm sitting in a studio with three computers. So I understand that it's the cat's out of the bag, Peter. It just is. We can't put it back again. AI is coming, you know, on strong. But there's nothing better than eyeball to eyeball, and I don't mean on a Zoom, and I don't mean on a Facebook. I mean eyeball to eyeball with real people. And you share the body language. You share the inflection of the voices. You can't text or email because you either shout or you don't shout on those. That's it. There's no
True.
Emotion
yeah.
there. There's no emotion.
Right.
And we have to get back to that because we're humans and we need that emotion to get through the day, for that matter, don't you think?
I like your expression that with some technology, the cat's out of the bag. We can't put it back. I once read an article about things that we wish could be uninvented. And I remember the gas-powered leaf blower and car alarms. Yeah, we can't uninvent some of this stuff.
No. But we can try and control it and let it, so that it doesn't control us. That's what I worry about. I don't want technology
right.
to control us. It's a tool, and keep it that way. You can build all the androids you want. I love Star Trek with, you know, Data, the android. But I still don't want it to take over. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now, do you have a website?
PeterLovenheim.com. Of course, you have to know how to spell Lovenheim.
Yeah. Spell it.
It's L-O-V, like Victor, E-N-H-E-I-M, like Mary.
Fantastic.
PeterLovenheim.com. And the book Gift Shop of Gratitude, it's available widely, Amazon, every other online retailer.
I love it. Thank you so much, Peter, for being with us. You've given us some inspirational things to do, not only at this time of the year, but all year long.
What a pleasure, Mary Jane. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Come back anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Peter Lovenheim, again, Gift Shop of Gratitude, and you can go to peterlovenheim.com. Coming up, do you believe that maybe chiropractic, we use it, humans use it, what about animals, dogs, cats, I don't know, all kinds of animals? Is it better for us? Is it a good idea for us? We're going to check it out.
Including those with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do.
Okay, try me.
What about a programmer?
That is a job for someone with autism.
What about a teacher?
That is a job for someone with autism.
Oh, how about a healthcare worker?
Yes, those are all jobs for someone with autism. The truth is, qualified people with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas and beliefs. Businesses value diversity, but sometimes don't recognize the unique strengths and abilities of the autism community. Introducing WIN, the Workplace Inclusion Now program by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
Ooh. What about a ranch hand?
Yeah!
Sure, that's a job for someone with autism, too. To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win. That's autismspeaks.org/win.
It's hot to the max in the summer, and your air conditioner gives up the ghost. Who are you going to call? ACP Mechanical, that's who. I did, and I can't believe what a great job they did in my home. It's cool and comfortable with a job well done. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Whether it's cooling or heating, Enrique and his ACP Mechanical team can install, repair, commercial or residential, no matter what HVAC system you have or want. And they've done it for over 20 years. Air conditioners, heat pumps, furnaces, thermostats, all quality and affordable solutions. And they're bonded and insured. I know you'll love their work. I do. Call ACP Mechanical, 916-704-8556. That's 916-704-8556 for all your comfort needs. That's ACP Mechanical, 916-704-8556. And expect an expert job well done and right the first time.
What a good dog.
Yes, you are.
What a good dog.
Yes, you are.
What a good dog.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are.
Well, you know me and dogs and cats and all kinds of animals, especially dogs. I mean, that gets to my heart all the time. But anyway, it seems like animals and humans are not so far apart. Veterinarians treat animals with treatments that are used for humans, and that from veterinarian Dr. Bill Ormston, who actually incorporates holistic remedies into his practice and added that chiropractic. So let's find out what's the best for our four-legged friends. Dr. O authored a book called Yes, It's Really a Thing. Nice to have you with us, Dr. O.
You bet. How are you doing today, Mary?
I'm fine.
Pleasure to be here.
Oh, this is good. Because what do you mean, yes, it's really a good thing or a thing? What's the thing? Chiropractic?
Animal chiropractic.
Ah, okay.
So I have a logo that says animal chiropractic, and it's on my truck, and on my coat, and on my shirt. And, you know, I'd be standing practice for, you know, over 15 years at the time when the idea of the book came about. And I'd be standing in line at the convenience store, and people would be like, animal chiropractic, is that really a thing?
Oh, I got it. Okay. Now,
yes, it's really a thing. And then they, you know, would ask why and what for.
So are the adjustments the same as for humans, except four legs instead of two?
Well, kind of.
Oh, kind of. Okay.
And so to get adjusted, a human to get adjusted, it should only be done by a trained chiropractor.
Yeah.
And they've gone to school and got, you know, a lot of hours in adjusting and disease and anatomy and physiology and all that, and philosophy of chiropractic. Although they do not learn how to adjust animals. Veterinarians spend a lot of hours in school, and they learn anatomy and physiology and drugs and disease and all kinds of stuff, but they don't learn how to adjust.
Hmm.
And so back in early 80s, a doctor by the name of Sharon Willoughby, she went to both veterinary school and chiropractic school. And she was adjusting animals, and she said, this is ridiculous for people to have both degrees and go to 8 years of school. So she said that either profession can be trained to adjust animals.
Huh.
And the differences are the bones in the neck function differently. I mean, yes, they hold the head on, and they, you know, are the nerves all go through those. But gravity, our head sits on our spine, and your dog's head hangs off the end of its spine.
Oh, okay.
So gravity affects it differently. So the adjustments are, there's a whole, what we call the angle of the adjustment are different in animals and in humans.
So what are some of the problems that you can help? Is it specifically dogs or other animals?
No, any animal with a spine can benefit from an adjustment.
Do you do, like, large animals, like horses?
Yes, ma'am.
Really?
Horses and cattle, and we've done some bucking bulls, and we've done some baby puppies that fit in your hand, and so we do the whole gamut of animals, yeah.
I'll be darned. Okay. How do they react to it? Especially cats. Dogs, I think you could probably handle better, but cats, do they even allow you to do that?
Oh, yeah. So most of the cats do fine, although to make sure that, because cats have a lot more weapons than most people do, dogs have a mouth, and that's it. But most cats have not only a mouth, but
claws.
Know, 20 claws.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when we have a cat come in that we don't know, we will put them in a fine lingerie bag, which is a mesh bag that the cat can see out of and we can see in, and we can definitely palpate everything about the cat. It's just difficult for the cat to
get at you. Okay, so what problems do you treat? Give me some examples.
Yeah.
Okay, life.
Well, so here's the thing that people don't understand, and a lot of people know that, well, chiropractic is good for back pain, and chiropractic is good for headaches, and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But when we think about the nervous system, and that's what chiropractic is about, is removing interference to an animal's nervous system, whether it be a person or a four-legged creature or a bird. We do chickens and turkeys and all kinds of stuff. But whether it's a four-legged or two-legged animal, if the nervous system has interference, then it's going to be a problem. For instance, you know, I'm sitting here and I have a fairly good signal on my cell phone, but you know, if something happens to that signal, you're not going to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
And so if something happens between the signal of the brain and the big toe, I'm not going to know what's going on in my big toe, and my, you know,
mm-hmm.
Big toe's not going to do what my brain's telling it to do.
Got it. Okay.
Same thing can happen with my kidneys, my liver, my digestion system, my reproductive system, my heart, my lungs,
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I It's been proven that the chiropractically adjusted brain handles background noise better than the non-chiropractically adjusted brain.
No kidding.
Okay, well, what's background noise? Well,
everything
that happens that you don't have to think about.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not just the annoying stuff going on back there. When's the last time you told your heart to beat?
That's true.
That's background noise.
Yeah.
You know, the last time that you told your stomach to digest the food you put in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So background noise in our brain is pretty important. We want it to be handled efficiently. So that's why, you know, the chiropractic stuff. So, yes, we take care of paralyzed doctors. We're here at our clinic, we're 94% effective. After three visits, we get an improvement in the paralyzed doctors. Sometimes it takes longer, but most of them are always really happy. You know,
so
we had a lady call today from the vet clinic. She sent me a video and said, should I get an MRI or CAT scan, or what do you think? I said, you need to get your dog adjusted. She said, oh, well, my vet just gave it a pain med. And I was like, well, was it painful? No, not really. And then 15 minutes later, she sent me another video, and the dog couldn't get up. And that is one of the side effects of some pain medication.
Oh.
Actually, the symptoms of just a neurological problem will get worse. But yet, as veterinarians, we really don't have anything to do. And so, oh, if they're dragging your feet, you must be in pain. Well, not really.
Just doesn't function.
So,
yeah.
It just doesn't function, yeah.
So you deal with motion issues or with injuries?
We deal with, motion, injury, healing. So here's what I like to tell my clients is that every certified animal chiropractor in the United States knows what is chiropractic. Most veterinarians don't know what is chiropractic. I mean, and so the chiropractor knows what's not. So we get pictures all the time. We get people bring dogs in all the time. I'm not sure if it's chiropractic or not. We adjust them and they get better. They're like, oh, my gosh. And then sometimes we'll still need to go to the veterinarian and add some stuff to it. But the adjustment still helps because it improves that communication between the brain and the rest of the body.
Now, as animals get older, just like people, do they have things like arthritis? Do you help with that? Because arthritis does set in.
Well, arthritis is proof that a joint hasn't worked right for some time.
Okay.
It's proof that there's been an agility problem, a mobility problem in that area for some time. And so if it's it means the muscles are weak. And so the bones are trying to overcome for what the bones or the muscles can't do.
Okay.
Weak muscles are due to lack of innervation or lack of use. And unlike us, when an animal, when a dog walks, it takes every muscle and every ligament and tendon and every joint in the body. So if he's got arthritis, it's due to lack of innervation problem.
Gotcha. Okay, so...
And so...
How do we
know... Yes, it's never too late for an adjustment, but it's never too early for an adjustment either.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you, because I've got two Samoyeds, and the big, white, fluffy Siberian dogs, sled dogs. And one is 7.5, the boy. Now, he's got, you know, I think he's going to be jumping forever. He just has this, that in his nature to just be very, very active. My girl, however, she's 9 this month. And so she's a senior girl. I mean, she's still getting around just fine. But jumping on the bed is a little more of a challenge for her than it used to be. And I keep thinking, well, maybe I should get one of those doggy stairs. And I even tried one, and she didn't even like it, you know. I'm not going to climb up on that. So she still jumps up on the bed, but a little more careful. Would an adjustment help her? you think?
Well, an adjustment will help any animal. An animal that's well adjusted will be able to handle any adversity in its life more appropriately. And so if there are some challenges, it will be easier without a nervous system interference.
Amazing.
So that's always a good place to start, is with a chiropractic adjustment.
Okay.
Also, there's no side effects with a chiropractic adjustment.
Hmm.
You know, some of the traditional old age medications that we would put on a dog can cause some problems, like liver and kidney issues and GI problems.
Huh.
And, you know, so we have to do blood work to make sure all those things are working every so often if you're on them. With the chiropractic adjustment, we don't have to worry about that stuff.
Okay. The other thing that you do, and I think it's wonderful, your practice is also with holistic. So what I mean, like vitamins and probiotics and stuff like that?
Well, the first thing we do is adjust everything three times. And sometimes that might be three times in a day, three times in a week, three times in a couple months, you know. But that's just what we do. Now, if we see an improvement, then we know we're headed in the right direction. Now, if we're not seeing the improvement we'd like, then the next thing we do is we look at the diet. What are we eating? You know, species-appropriate food is what we want, and raw food is more appropriate for dogs than canned food.
Okay.
And kibble food.
I was just going to say kibble, too. Yeah. Is kibble totally not a good thing to do and stay with raw food? In other words, chicken, beef, vegetables, fruit, that type of thing?
Well, so here's where we get into a little bit of an issue, problem,
okay.
Is that I don't ever recommend people feed their dog raw food unless they're following a recipe and have a lot of time that they make. Okay. I do recommend commercially available raw food diets because I don't have enough time to completely balance the dog ration. I have trouble balancing my own food diet.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, my wife is definitely more healthy and fitter than I am. But she charts her food every day.
Oh, wow.
So many carbs, so much protein, you know, all that stuff. And she's a lot healthier than I am. Like, I have trouble, you know, just remembering what I ate today, let alone charting it in. and so for me to figure that out for my dog, but commercially available raw food is always balanced. It has zero salmonella and E. coli tolerance, where if you're buying meat from the grocery store, that's not the case. But they do take great efforts to do that. A couple diets that we recommend, a couple companies are Darwin, D-A-R-W-I-N-S, raw food, and then also BARF, Biologically Appropriate Raw Food Diet. And they're both companies that ship right to your door, so it's kind of nice. You don't ever have to leave to get your dog food.
Well, go ahead.
People will say they're more expensive than kibble, but you don't have to supplement.
Well, that's true.
You should have everything in there they need.
Yeah. I'm just out of curiosity, because the breeder of my Samoyeds basically say, you know, they need a certain amount of raw meat. Maybe it's by species. I don't know. That part I don't know. Like in the morning, I do have kibble, but I have a kibble that is because I don't know for sure, supposedly the closest you can get to raw food. And also, I look for labels, Dr. Mm-hmm. O. If it's not made in the USA, I won't buy it.
Well, and that's good. Here's the thing about raw food versus kibble. So most kibble is heat extruded and cooked to 360 degrees.
Oh, wow.
They have a new one out now called Oven Bake. That's 450
Whoa.
Degrees. Well, and then the newest one that I have is gently cooked. It's gently cooked. Well, we know that digestive enzymes, okay, which come in, you know, why does roadkill just go away? Well, it's because everything in nature comes with its own digestive enzyme.
Okay.
They're kept at bay, but if it starts to break down, then it starts to digest itself and it goes away. So raw food has digestive enzymes in it. Those digestive enzymes are killed at 118 degrees.
Oh, wow.
So they're ineffective at 118 degrees. So guess what? When that kibble's cooked to 360, it's not working.
Yeah.
Those enzymes aren't working.
Yeah.
So
well,
I've called some of the gently cooked companies and asked for their temperatures, and I've been told that's proprietary, and they're not going to give that to me, and I understand. And so I just ask them flat out, well, I need to know, if your food is cooked above 118, then I firmly believe that digestive enzymes will help this pet product. But if it was cooked to less than 118 degrees, digestive enzymes are going to be a waste of time. So can you help me out? And every one of them have left, gone to talk to somebody, and come back and said, well, we recommend that since you're a doctor, you would probably give them digestive enzymes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, the other thing. I don't mind doing a little more work for my dogs, you know. So in the morning, they do get some raw beef, ground beef. And the 93%, because I don't want to give them any extra fat. They don't need that. It's the protein that I'm looking for. And I do give them some kibble. But I also, you know, I've got the vitamins in there. I give them some probiotics, you know, things like that. Cosequin, because they're little older dogs. And a little bit of kibble. But that's all they get for breakfast. But then at night, I cut up vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, celery, you name it. And I'll cut those up, and then I put a little bit of kibble on top and a dollop of cottage cheese. And that's what they get at night, because I think, you know, it's easier on their stomach, you know, because they're going to be sleeping pretty soon. So what do you think? I mean, is that okay?
Well, I don't recommend ever mixing raw food with kibble.
Oh, really? Why?
Because they're totally digested differently.
Oh.
Raw food is easily to digest, and kibble's hard. And every bite of kibble causes inflammation in the gut.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So best if I do the raw vegetables. And, in the morning when I have my breakfast, I give them I put a lot of fruit on my breakfast cereal, and so they get a couple of blueberries, they get a couple of strawberries, and they get what else do I put a taste of banana. So they get a little fruit in the morning. Is that okay?
Well, so maybe not. Without balancing the whole ration, I can't tell you whether what you're feeding your dogs is appropriate or not.
Oh, okay.
And so you have to look at the whole thing. Now, there are people that do that, and if you need somebody, if you would like, or any of your listeners out there would like to try to prepare your dog's own raw food or have somebody look at what you're doing, okay,
mm-hmm.
to see if it's right, they can send me they can go to yeskyro.com and send me an email or whatever, and I'll get back in touch with them. I know the one lady averages about $400 to look at a ration, and she'll analyze it, tell you what's good, what's bad, and what you need to do, what's bad to it. That's why I just feel that getting a commercially available raw dog food is a lot easier and more convenient. And I know my dogs are eating what they need, and I don't have to suggest. Like you said, Cosequin. Well, Cosequin is in cartilage.
Yeah.
So if I'm feeding a green, what's called green bone, which is a bone that hasn't been cooked, it's just been ground up, that's the best source of calcium that you can feed your dog. And it also has everything in it, the glucosamines and all that are in it, and the MSM, all that stuff, yeah, are in raw meaty bones and raw meat.
Hmm. Yeah, it seems confusing because, like, we don't even know what we feed ourselves, you know. That's supposed
right.
to be good. Your wife is an exception, believe me. She's an exception.
Well, yeah, I understand, but yeah.
But, you know, we want to keep our animals healthy. They mean,
right.
My two babies, I call them babies, but they're older dogs, they mean the world to me. My husband and I always had at least two dogs. Sometimes we went up to three if there was a rescue dog or anything like that, because we've had rescue as well as pure breed. But, you know, they mean a lot. They're family. They're our kids, mm-hmm. Four-legged kids.
And one of the things that we've added for wellness is not only the routine chiropractic exam, the whole food diet, and exercise, but also, you can frequency, you know, your vibration, and we can change our frequency with a lot of different things. Homeopathy can do that. PEMF can do that. And we use a thing called Qi Coil because we don't have to actually sit right on it. The dog doesn't have to sit right on it. And we can be close to the animal, and they can get it, and then different frequencies. So based on what we're dealing with. And we do have a question and answer on frequencies every month, but you can go to Qi Coil for Pets and find out about that.
Okay. What,
and that's
what
something that you can do.
Explain.
If you don't. It's Qi Coil.
Okay. Qi.
For Pets.
Okay. Qi. Explain frequency. I don't understand that.
Well, everything what has a vibration. So what color is your shirt?
Red.
What color are your pants?
Red. It's
what
Christmas.
Color is your, what color is the table?
Brown.
All right. So the light, the sunlight comes and hits those items, and they vibrate back into your eye at a different frequency.
Oh.
It's the same light reflecting off those items. They're just coming back at different frequencies.
Oh.
And that frequency of vibration is how we perceive things. We hear different frequencies, you know, like some people talk low and some people talk high, and
yeah,
that's the frequency of their voice. And energy, everything is about energy. And so how fast are you vibrating? And you know people, every one of us knows people, that when you walk into the room, you could be tired and about ready to fall asleep, and you walk in the room, and all of a sudden you're, boom, wide
yeah.
awake.
Yeah. You know what? We've run out of time, but I want to make sure
okay.
your website is vetchiro.com, correct?
No, let's go to yes, Y-E-S, Chiro.
Oh, yes, Chiro. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, yes, Chiro.
It's yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And the book, Yes, It's Really a Thing, available where?
You can get it at yescairo.com or it's on Amazon.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you know, I think we need to understand that our pets are our family, and they need to be cared for, too. And I commend you for what you do, Dr. O.
Well, thank you for sharing the message.
You bet. And come
and
back anytime, okay?
Well, you just give me a holler.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay,
you
folks, hang in there. Coming up, yeah, we got more. We always have more. In the meantime, stay well and stay with Pop Talk.